Welcome back to the Spodcasters. Tom Keegan, DJ Wetter, Ryan Wood, Kevin Romery. Well, what happened, guys?
Well, kudos to you, Andy Sandy.
Kuznark played great. What else do you want to know? Knocked down tennis. Is that what we're
we can talk about that in a little while. But
hey, it's all about Andy Sam saying they're going to get a Valley team and they don't want a Valley team. Sure enough, they got it. But it's more about that because it was as much about KU as it was about Bradley. Physically, they're not freshmen anymore. Basketball-wise, they're not freshmen anymore. Emotionally, they're freshmen. They came out tight. Bradley was slapping hands in the layup line, introduction line. KU stood there stiffly. They were stiff. They came out tight. That's all there is to it.
KU never smiled coming out of the locker room. We've got the tape of those guys going on the floor. Never acted like they were excited to be there or having a good time or ready to have a good time and go out and play. It was a very, very serious tone team that wasn't serious. It was nervous and a little bit scared and didn't know exactly what it was getting into and went out on the floor. And you mentioned that Tom Bradley comes out slapping high fives, smiling. Good to be here. Let's just go play our best and see what happens. And two games later, Bradley turns out to be a pretty good team, and they're still playing right now.
Yeah, Patrick O'Brien was a confident monster.
But not against KU.
Pitt. Right. Against KU, Marcellus Somerville got hot.
And he was the go-to guy late in that second half. Anytime Kansas scored, he had the answer. And I don't know about you. I had the feeling sitting there watching the game that sooner or later Kansas would turn it on and win the game at the end. However, that's the same feeling I had last year when Kansas lost to Bucknell in Oklahoma City. I just 2 minutes to go, I still thought KU will pull this out somehow. Jayhawks got it to three, kind of smiled a little bit and thought, okay, there's still 50 seconds to go or whatever it was after that Jeff Hawkins three. You know, this is the time where Bradley misses maybe the front end of 1-1. Kansas gets the ball back, ties the game, goes to overtime, and maybe wins it. But just like last year against Bucknell, Kansas just waited too long before it tried to do anything.
Here's the deal. If we started at the beginning of the season and we said this team would be Big 12 champs during the regular season, co-champs, then win the Big 12 tournament, I think we would also say that's one heck of a season. We've said that. So it's only disappointing from the standpoint that they did so well in the Big 12 tournament. They looked loose.
They
were having fun. They were doing everything they didn't do against Bradley.
They faced Texas, though. Yeah, they were better the second time they did.
And they were better the second time they played Missouri and the second time they played K-State. We'll never know about St. Joe's,
Another
Arkansas.
Another 50 years they'll play Bradley and hopefully it'll
No, you know what it is? The second time they're in the big stage, on the big stage, in the tournament, they'll do better. And that second time is next year. Because it's single elimination. They're not going to lose in the first round next year. Didn't think they would this year. Certainly didn't think so. Guess that wrong. The only guy who guessed that right was Andy Sam.
Well, no, I didn't guess that right. I had them in my Final Four because they looked really great against Texas.
But you were on the Valley all year, and you said they don't want a Valley opponent.
I bet Bill Self gave a little call to a Packer. Hey, thanks for the help, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, CBS comes out looking like roses after they called out the tournament like that and the committee. But, you know, as we said, Missouri Valley gets two teams in the Sweet 16. The Big Ten, the RPI number one conference, zero teams in the Sweet 16. So
and look
what do
those
numbers mean anymore?
Look at the teams the Valley took out, Big East teams, the best conference. Maybe not.
I don't know.
Well, the Big East is the best conference because they've got four teams in the Sweet 16. Come on.
They had eight teams to begin with.
Yeah, but that's a testament to you when you get eight invitations.
The Valley had four teams and got two in. Same thing.
No, it's not the same
percentage-wise.
If you get eight teams are good enough to be the top 65. Valley had at least five teams good enough, though.
Oh, yeah.
Missouri State should have been.
They're both playing still, too. 5-2, the Valley,
right.
Postseason.
Yeah, no, the Valley was very good.
But is this embarrassing for KU fans? Back-to-back years?
I think it is just the fact that it's back-to-back years, first-round exits, killer B teams.
It's something for Missouri fans to talk about, K-State fans to talk about from that standpoint.
But was that the same team? Absolutely not. That is two completely different teams, a roster that's almost completely overhauled and new. I mean, these are two unrelated teams going at it, and yeah, they both lost in the first round, but it's pretty much coincidental more than anything.
Yeah, in that sense, you're right that it's bad luck because they are two different teams. They totally turned the roster over, and the one thing they had in common is they came out and dropped a dud in the first round.
You talk about Somerville being hot. What about Will Franklin from 28 feet out right before halftime?
That was a killer.
That was lucky
that
was shot.
That was the game.
That and the one possession in the first half where four different guys had tip-ins
and
all missed. One of them was a short jumper by Julian Wright. But Rush had two tip-ins and Sasha had another tip-in that just went in and out. So right there, that's 5 points. If the Bradley lead is 5 points at halftime instead of 10, who wins that game?
Hey, KU. I think that bank shot's a difference in the game.
They hit that
three for
shot.
Hawkins. You knew it was their night when they hit that.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, man.
I turned to Gary Bedore as soon as that thing went in. I said, it is Bradley's night. This game's going to go to Bradley.
10-point lead at the half. 27 points and a half for
and
KU.
And KU was shooting free throws right before that to cut it to 2 points.
Russell missed two. He missed
both. And then he had the turnover driving to the lane, and that's what caused the – you know, the ball the other way, and Franklin banking the three.
KU had
an 8-point swing right there.
KU had the lead, and Bradley finished off the half with an 11-0 run. It was the free throws by Russell to give him the first lead since, I think, 6-5 or 6-4, something like that, real early after a rush free throw or whatever. Then 11 straight, two of them with three-pointers that go back-to-back, one of them which was wide open, the other one which turned out to be a bank. Thought Kansas would come out in the second half and ambush Bradley and say, this is enough. What are we doing? Let's just get this thing going. Didn't happen that way. Things started off real slow and kind of grinding it up just like the first 20 minutes, and you knew right there it was going to be tough.
They didn't start ambushing until they had the three guards attacking on the steals. They had four steals with about 7 minutes back-to-back-to-back possessions with Chalmers and Hawkins and Robinson. And how about Chalmers? He came out of two of those breaks contested by two people. He's driven behind his back at about 100 miles an hour. I mean, he does miss that layup pretty badly, but what a run by him to even get him back in it.
He had a terrific second half, but nobody came out tighter in the first half than Mario Chalmers. Scoreless.
Zero points. And these guards, with the way the big men play for this team, no guards can go scoreless in a half and this team still be in the game, and that's why KU trailed by 10. So, you know, Andy, you mentioned how solid Mario was in the second half. By him being invisible in the first half is one of the big reasons KU was down in the first place, and we saw, boy, Darrell Arthur, come on, big guy. Kansas needs a reliable big guy on the inside.
Scoring big man.
Nobody could score. Sasha looked like the freshman guy that I saw. How many times did he touch the basketball and just not even think about scoring? He just caught it and kind of was jumpy and weird, looking around for somebody else to pass to, rather than the more relaxed guy and comfortable guy we had seen portions of this season, where he caught it, took his time, thought about scoring first, not passing. He did not have that mindset at all, and that was a killer. And then he does make the one great move and then completely blows the left-handed layup, and after that, his brains were gone.
I was going to say, I think that play right there really, really shot it for him, definitely the game. And maybe for the team, boy, that epitomized it. You said the tip ends real close, and then Sasha, that was the best move he's maybe made all year, where he fakes one way, dips under, and goes up with the left. Just lay, you're no one around you.
Nobody.
Lay it in.
Nobody.
Dunk it. You know, it's frustrating. But you guys talked about it. Boy, when they hit that half-court shot in, your three, or whatever it was, pretty deep, that's the first time I turned to my buddies and said, oh. Hey, you feel fine even with a 7-point deficit at halftime. But 10, the way they got it and the way they were hyped up, that was just dangerous.
But in these tournament games where a smaller seed that has nothing to lose starts hitting threes, there were 7 threes for Bradley, 0 for KU. That's the formula for defeat right there. Every game, you know. That's how it happens.
9 of 56 Bradley was from 3-point range during the MVC tournament. 11 of 21 against Kansas.
You get hot. That's the same thing with Bucknell last year. You're like, how did they win? Well, they hit 9 threes. Well, Bradley hit 11 threes.
A couple of those were lucky, like the one before the half, but let's not kid ourselves. 7 or 8
of
those
were
wide open shots. That Twy guy that never scores anytime, he was all alone in the corner. He swished. I mean, some of those shots, I think the guards were much quicker than Kansas was prepared for, and those guys were able to get open looks, and they were able to keep up with the Kansas guards on defense.
Yeah, when you're not used to playing guards that little, it can be kind of unsettling. And most teams in the Big 12 have bigger guards than the guards they faced. And so when you're that little and that quick, and it's the first time you've done it, it's like a little bit weird for you.
And it's also Kansas was paying a lot of attention to Patrick O'Brien inside. A 7-footer will probably be in the NBA in a year or two.
He's better than any Jayhawk big guy right now.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
No question.
Without a doubt.
He proved that.
Extra attention to him. He had 28 points against Pitt.
He proved that, yeah. That.
And, you know, because of that, maybe, you know, that left some guards open while they're collapsing inside and everything. So, a lot of reasons why Bradley played really good, and it doomed KU.
How about this fact, too? Self never loses the first round until he comes to his dream job. 0-2.
How about
actually,
Bill feeling a little pressure
two,
today? How's he feeling this week?
I don't think so. It's weird. I think he's about in his office going about his business, whereas last year it was kind of devastating.
I think he's in South Oak Cliff, actually.
Yeah, probably.
I was going to say, is the advantage all this the extra recruiting time that he has with our big
Darrell Arthur?
But he better take a letter of intent with him and have him sign it right there in front of him.
Well, think about the possibilities with Darrell Arthur. Let's just for a second flash into the future. Let's say late night in the fog that he wants to split up the team so that he can, just for a few minutes, just to tease the audience, put these five guys on the floor at once.
The three freshmen, Sharon and Darrell. That's what you're going to say, right?
No, that one we've talked about. That could end up being the starting lineup by the end of the year. This one's kind of a freak show type lineup, but you could take the floor with this freak show type lineup.
I like
lineup.
Freak shows. I'm waiting.
Julian Wright at point guard.
Oh, boy.
All right? Let's start off there. Brandon Rush at the shooting guard. Darrell Arthur at small forward.
Small guard.
C.J. Giles at power forward. And Sasha Kahn at center. That would be a lineup of 6'6 is your shooting guard. What's Julian? 6'8 or 6'9? 6'8
about.
6'8. Then you go Giles, 6'10, Kahn, 6'11, and Arthur, 6'9.
I hope we're not playing a lineup that goes small and shoots a lot of threes, because I don't think those guys will be able to guard on the
other
end.
Well, in that case, yeah, you go with a small lineup.
Let me say this. With the big guys that KU has now, I don't want to go big against anybody, because those guys didn't do anything all year for the most part, with that obviously small stretches offensively.
Yeah,
certainly.
Defensively they did. But now let's go to the small lineup. I'm just trying to make a point of how versatile this roster could be next year. Small lineup, Sharon Collins, Mario Chalmers, Russell Robinson, Brandon Rush at the power forward.
Brady Morningstar?
And Darrell Arthur at center. So
I'd say Ryder Morningstar even, if you're going to just shoot nothing but threes.
Jeremy Case.
Hey, there's a lot of different ways you can go.
Mike, oh.
Jeremy Case isn't one of them at the moment.
Micah, will he be back?
Mike is still in the tournament, by the way.
Yeah. He'll be there celebrating if fucking Zega gets to the final.
Maybe he'll
four.
Get a piece of the net. He can cut it down in the regional final. Wouldn't that be fun?
You're not allowed to pay for them to go on the road, though, I believe.
I'd rather have a piece of Morrison's hair than
that. Because that was when he was celebrating, that was at Atkins.
That was at home in the tournament.
So I think it's against the rules to let him go on the road. But he can pay his own way.
Sure.
He could end up in Oakland pretty easily, though, couldn't
he? Yeah.
I mean, that's
a short trip.
Seattle down to Oakland.
That's a good point.
You guys got it all figured out with Micah Downs, but seriously, what's he going to do next year?
What do you mean, what's he going to do?
How much is he going to contribute against?
He's
going to
sit out for the first semester.
Right.
You know, obviously, they're going to lose Morrison.
Is he
going to
be a star at Gonzaga, you think?
Before it's all over, it's possible.
Really?
You know, they don't put the premium on defense that they do at KU, but he's still going to have to work
play
a lot
exactly.
harder than he thinks he's going to have to work, would be my guess.
I think it's in him to be a star. I do. If he gets the effort up. And
that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot more effort than he showed in his brief time in Lawrence to do it.
Anyway, how do we get on that subject?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, me. Well, what about Wichita State then? What
Turge.
About him?
He's going to have to get
like
out of
KU's,
the top.
That's kind
of
like KU's little brother. So is that who the KU fans are rooting for now, you think?
I think so.
I think so, with the Turge being a former KU player.
I'm rooting
assistant.
For him. I was rooting for him yesterday watching that game against Tennessee and surprised by what they've been able to do, and was kind of rooting for a Roy Williams-Mark Turgeon matchup. I thought that might be kind of fun in the next round. But
and we know
I think
who all the KU fans have been rooting for in
that one. And I think it's better now, though, because then you get the rematch for Toss State in the Sweet 16. And then you think about that matchup, one of those two teams, Mason or Wichita State, could be in the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight. Isn't
one of those
amazing?
Teams is going to get to the Elite
that
Eight.
That is really cool. But
you know
nothing
and
can
maybe
make
Bradley
feel,
will join them.
Nothing can make you feel better after losing in the first round if you're a KU fan. But if anything could, wouldn't it be this triple-header of Bradley coming out and looking great, number one. Number two, Wichita State winning with Turgeon, the former KU player and former assistant coach. And number three, Roy Williams forgetting the score. He forgot the score. He thought that it was tied when they were behind by three. And, I read that in the paper, in the Journal World today.
Let me ask this, though, too. How many coaches get a tech for that where, you know, Roy doesn't get the tech?
For throwing the chair, you're talking about?
Interesting.
I mean, it wasn't like he absolutely threw it on the court. I mean, threw it down pretty hard, but I think a lot of people get attacked for that.
I saw that and I said, boy, if that were Bobby Knight, that would have been replayed. And before every time I said, well, going to break down, here's another look at Bobby Knight throwing the chair. But Roy did something that Bobby Knight didn't. Roy turned around with his back to the court and slammed the chair into the bench and then tossed it that way rather than throwing it onto the court. So that's apparently
illegal.
The difference between. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You can destroy a chair as long as it's not on the court.
And you were talking about to make KU fans feel better. Don't forget the hate that some KU fans have. Illinois losing and Carolina losing, that also made their day brighter, which is funny. I mean, as soon as your team's out of the tournament, you just want every you want every top seed to just fall.
No team
Why the hate
last
for
year's
Illinois?
Final Four is in the tournament anymore. One of them never was in the tournament, Louisville, but Michigan State losing the first round and Carolina, Illinois in the second round.
A lot of good coaches.
Kinda weird.
Only four Sweet 16s back, and only one school has been in three consecutive Sweet 16s. Isn't that amazing?
How
Duke
now.
Yeah,
Duke.
How many? Duke. Nine?
Nine straight. That is unbelievable. I mean, think about that. Second weekend, 9 years in a row, no upsets. I mean, you get to the second weekend, if you lose, it's not an upset no matter who you play, because that's a top 16 ranked team everywhere.
Well, Getting back to Wichita State, though, and I have to do a little name dropping right now. I watched the end of that game in Midway Airport in Chicago as we were trying to get back to Kansas City, and I watched it right next to a KU recruit, a possible former Jayhawk, or future Jayhawk, I guess, in the class of 07, Tyrell Reed of Burlington, Kansas.
Oh, he made the trip, huh?
Him and I believe it was his father. I don't know for sure. I didn't talk to him, but they strolled into this restaurant where I was watching the game. They watched the end of it with us. They were there for watch the Wichita State game. Then they took off, and after the Shockers pulled it off, and so he was with a guy, I believe it was his dad, was wearing a KU windbreaker. So who knows what that means, but just had to drop a name to make me feel important.
Can't be bad news. Tyrell Reed, highly regarded prospect.
Roy's been out there a couple times, though, too.
Did you see the postgame with Roy, too? I mean, I'm sure, you know.
No, I didn't. My triglycerides were a little high.
Well, you had a little sniffle there. I'm sure that didn't go over great.
Coach Roy, is that
with
you?
Some fans here.
I mean, you would think this year would be easy for him because he knew coming in it was going to be like this. Yeah, I mean, didn't have anybody coming back. And I mean, to the second round, I think what hurts more is that they got the break in the first round with that other side of the bracket having the upset. So they didn't really have to play the best team that they could possibly play. And then I'm sure that, you know, a lot of teams see that and they're like, all right, now's our chance. We just squeak on into the sweep. This will be easy. Was it 18-2 or 16-2 at the start of that game?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. And then I looked up again 20, 30 minutes later, and it was almost a tie game. And
I can't remember who hit the shot for Carolina, but he poses to get the picture. Did you see this? And Roy
was
Noel? Livid. I don't think it was Noel. I can't remember who it was, but he poses, puts the hand up, you know. Roy pulls him back down the court. He wasn't going to have that.
Oh, I saw that, the replay of that, yeah. Now, what do they have in common? North Carolina bows out earlier than expected. KU bows out earlier than expected. Freshman in the starting lineup.
And you looked at it. I mean, I don't remember how many in the Sweet 16 have a freshman. Didn't you say this in your column?
Well, the ones, the four seeds of seven or higher, 0 for 20 as far as the starters on those four teams. I believe the only teams left with freshman
Washington
starters.
Washington has one.
Washington has two.
Duke's got a couple.
And Duke's got...
McRoberts.
McRoberts starting now? Has he always been starting? Has he come off the bench?
Know.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Paulus is
But for the most part, the upset teams don't have freshmen starting anyway.
Interesting.
Everyone,
teams that score upsets.
Well, you know, after KU won the Big 12 tournament, everyone had dreams of Fab Five, which I just watched the 93 title game on ESPN Classic the other day. You know, dreams of them, five freshmen, make it to the national title game that year. You know, everyone thinks, why can't that be us? Why can't that be KU? Why can't that be North Carolina? And that's incredibly hard to do, guys.
Bigger bodies, too. They were big-body freshmen.
Yeah,
and how many of those freshmen were? I mean, it yet to be determined for KU how many go pro.
You
but you're talking almost, I think all five of them played at least, maybe
they
not.
Played at least professional.
At least at some
NBA.
Level, yeah. Maybe, I can't remember if
But you think about it, though.
King
in this day and age, Weber would have never gone to college. I don't think Jalen Rose would have ever gone to college. And Juwan Howard might not have ever gone to college.
Yeah.
Talking about 93.
Well, for those
Michigan,
guys,
anyway.
Let's be honest. They would have had to take a pay cut to go to the NBA. All right, they were making more at Michigan than they were going to make in any league anywhere. And if you visit, those banners aren't hanging anywhere in there.
That's true.
It's like they never really made it.
That's true. But
yeah, but you know, these things that they take away doesn't take it away
cares?
From our memories.
And it doesn't make the team that lost feel any better about it. They don't get a trophy that
exactly.
shows up in their clay.
Right, great
We
point.
Want that net that you guys cut down, mail it to our school for cheating. Doesn't happen.
And we'll go back and pose for the pictures of cutting down nets. When
all those guys come back 25
pounders.
Years later.
Yeah.
Put the picture in there, put the jerseys back on them, the old short
they'll
shorts.
Fit or sew two jerseys together.
Short shorts.
What do they do with the banner? Do they just hide it for about 20 years so everybody forgets again and then they hang it back up?
They have to mail it to the NCAA. I don't
really?
Know. Then they burn it. I don't know.
They burn it? Oh,
what do they do with marijuana that they seize? Because they can't burn that, can they?
Probably send it back to Mexico. They can sell it back.
I don't know what they do with that.
Because if they burned it, think about it. I mean,
whole cities would be high,
right?
Notice how
you'd have the whole Wakarusa festival would be driving straight to the fire. And
what I
want to
know is getting off the marijuana topic. Do you expect, Tom Keegan? Do you expect everyone to be back next year for KU?
Yes, I do expect
everybody.
Everyone to
whoa,
be
whoa.
Back.
After last offseason, can you really expect anything anymore?
You take Brandon Rush's words as the absolute done deal truth right now.
I agree with
here's
you.
Here's
the
part that I don't
was wrong.
Take for truth.
The reason he should come back isn't because they lost in the first round. He doesn't
right.
want to go out
right.
like that.
No, no, no.
It should be because whether he's ready or not to move
and
on.
And I think that he's known for a few weeks that he's not ready.
No,
so this was a classy way to say it. and it was a way to show his teammates he appreciates them and he enjoys being with them. And what you don't want to say you're not ready. Think about where he comes from, the Rush family, the you know, that these they're all legends in Kansas ready. City. To be able to say I'm not good enough to go to the NBA yet, no. He doesn't want to have to say it. This was a cool way for him to say it. He does enjoy his experience at KU. There's no question. I think he's back definitely. Julian Wright, certainly. He's got to polish his
game. Hey, and C.J. Giles said he was coming back.
Which we've all been on the fence for weeks, I'm sure. Back.
Maybe he should be a starter before he even addresses that question, C.J.
Yeah, he's not ready to start on this team, much less play in the NBA.
Corey Maggette didn't start at Duke now.
This is true.
Different story, I'd say.
But he also cost Duke some of those wins. Thanks a lot, Piggy.
Sasha Kahn. That's right, Myron Piggy. Sasha Kahn's an NBA prospect, but certainly not yet.
He's prospect.
Prospect.
It's not the game. It's his height, I think.
He can run.
On the list.
And he's fast. He's got to catch the ball better, which that generally doesn't
improve. And he's coachable.
And he's got to develop an offensive game.
I was on NBADraft.net today, and I was looking at the 2007 mock draft. Have any of you guys seen this?
I've seen it. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to quiz you then. I believe three KU players in the first round of the mock draft in 07. Which order are they in?
Sasha Kahn won.
First.
Wrong.
Julian Wright won?
CJ
Julian
first.
Julian Wright was number one. Fourth overall.
Wow. And then CJ maybe second?
No.
Sasha second, then CJ.
And Brennan Rush was third. Oh. I don't think CJ is the first
CJ
runner.
Just disappeared off
he
the map.
Dropped off the list. Julian Wright, number four overall. Hey, that's kind of interesting to me.
I have a feeling that this loss is going to affect him more than a lot of the players on the team. And you watch him come back. If he can develop a jump shot, yeah, he could be fourth overall because he has skills that no one else has. And
of course.
He has the biggest upside.
That same website at one point had J.R. Giddens as the number seven overall pick after his freshman year.
Tend to be basketball fans sitting around thinking of it themselves after watching
an amazing
dunk. I'd like to
know the background
dunk.
Of that website. But, you know,
so what exactly are we?
Yeah, what are we?
Well, I bet you we talk more often to NBA scouts, and I don't know if these guys are credentialed to games. In Hawaii, Gary and I were talking NBA scouts. You know, you talk to them off the record to get an idea for where guys stand, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And against Chaminade, they love CJ against Chaminade.
Guaranteed,
he tore him apart.
CJ is fantastic when a 6'7 center is guarding him. Unfortunately, there's no 6'7 centers playing in the NBA.
You know, 6'7".
Not even
two guards, but maybe.
Not even for the Bobcats.
I'd like to see Julian Wright stay 4 years. 2 years as an inside player, 2 years as an outside player.
2 years as a Magic Johnson.
Good luck.
All right, how about three? Let's negotiate. Can I have three?
I'd say two or three.
Give me three. He'll stay three.
2 years as an inside player, 1 year as a perimeter.
If Chalmers comes on like he did at the end of this year, he might not be your three.
I don't know about that. A guard?
I'd say three for Chalmers. I'd say two for Rush and three for Wright and Chalmers.
You got to just, I mean, look at the strides.
Chalmers has got to keep improving, though.
Because you were talking about the freshman, where they developed. He clearly was the best down the stretch, right?
He was, but he was also playing shooting guard. And at his size, he's got no prayer of being a shooting guard in the NBA.
I mean, think about it like last year, D. Brown. And I know he got hurt, but this is a guy that took his team to the national title game, preseason All-American, that kind of stuff. And he wasn't going to be drafted in the first round at all.
No.
And think about what he has done compared to Mario. And you're right, Tom, the difference is guards and big guys. You can't teach height, so you draft that whenever you can get it, whether the guy's talented or not, and hoping you can make that guy into a player.
Darko.
Guards are kind of a dime a dozen, really, unless they're the super guy that's coming out, you know, if it's a LeBron or a Kobe or whatever, but certainly a much different situation between the guards and the centers.
And, yeah, Kevin, absolutely. To prove your point, I've been watching that Night School. They're down to the final two. Guess who they took?
Tall guy. Don't ruin it.
Oh, sorry. Well, they took both tall guys,
Wasn't it the first show?
The guards were much better players, too.
The first show, he came in and said, there's something I want all you guys to do.
Grow four inches.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they just – and similar situation at KU a couple years ago when it was Steven Vincent who had gotten the preferred walk-on status at KU. DJ Watkins, another Lawrence. I mean, arguably better player. Some people would say more. He scored more points for that LHS team. Certainly didn't contribute the other things, but a guy that could shoot the ball, played his butt off as hard as he could. He makes it down to the last three for walk-on tryouts at KU, and then they end up going with a taller guy because they needed height. They had enough guards because they'd already given Steven the preferred walk-on status.
And that being said, don't be surprised if Mario hangs around for a full 4 years at KU. I'd say he stays four. I say all of the freshmen stay four and three national championships. How about that, Andy, Sam?
Cuckoo.
I think some of that marijuana that's been seized that Keegan was talking about has been making its way to Wetter's house.
They burned marijuana, Tom Keegan, and I was present.
They burned it in Wetter's living room.
Yeah, Wetter's got the KU jersey with the number one on it in the studios today.
Right there in the fireplace.
Oh, funny.
Well, what about all the openings?
Twins were great, though. Huh?
These mid-majors obviously having such an impressive showing. That could make this offseason four openings in the Big 12 interesting.
Yeah, definitely, because they'll try to raid the Missouri Valley Conference. You look at the two Iowa schools with coaching openings, Iowa from the Big 10, Iowa State from the Big 12. Looking at one of those schools going to raid Dana Altman at Creighton.
Iowa doesn't have an opening.
Not yet, but come on, they're going to have an opening once he goes to Steve Alford goes to Indiana.
What you meant to say was Indiana doesn't have an opening.
So if he goes to Indiana, I could see Turge, if they win this and get to the Elite Eight, I would think Iowa would be a job that he would leave for. I don't think K-State and Nebraska are.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, that maybe he leaves for Iowa.
Yeah, I think those are lateral jobs. Iowa State, I'm still a coin flip. You know, they've had some tradition, but I just think the Big 12 North, they need to get some coaches in there to make that. You know, part of it, I mean, Kansas needs the Big 12 North to be a little bit better to help them out.
I agree.
If Turgeon gets four more wins, let's say in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I will be present with
there be a bronze statue erected in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, but then somebody will steal it.
Before he goes to Iowa State.
Yeah, then someone will steal it.
He'll be defaced immediately.
All right, four KU grads in the room right here I'm staring at.
True.
Let me go around the room, starting with Andy Sam, go to Kevin Romery, Ryan Wood, DJ Wetter. And ask this question. Do you, as a KU fan, want Kansas State to hire Bob Huggins, who will do whatever it takes to make Kansas State a much more winning program? Yes or no, and why? Starting with you, Andy Sam.
Hey, I've never been one to judge a man by his character. So I would say where they're at right now, they need wins. So if he's your answer, they need a home run. They need wins. You know, I think Jankovic would be a great coach there, but I don't think they can take that chance right now. I think they need a home run that's going to bring wins, and if he's a little shady, so, you know, he's a little shady.
So, and if they get better, it's good for KU.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, it sends the wrong message. I think they can get a good coach somewhere, but I think Huggins is the wrong guy for anywhere. If I'm any place, I can't imagine even thinking about hiring that guy with what he's been through and just knowing the type of players that he brings in and
the voice of
maybe,
reason.
No, maybe I'm wrong, Manhattan. But I mean,
but that wasn't the question.
As a KU fan, though, Kevin, do you want him to do it?
Yes. You know, I don't want him to look stupid, maybe. If I'm a K-State guy, no, I don't want him. I don't necessarily want K-State to stink. I mean, I kind of agree with you. I think that making these teams around here makes the matchups when KU plays Missouri and K-State more high profile, which gets these teams on national TV more, which, again, will get more respect for all the teams. But do I think it's a good
money
move? I guess, you know, if it's K-State, do I care? Probably I don't care either way. But if I'm rooting for K-State, then I'm thinking they're screwing up if they're bringing Huggins in. I think he's a short-term guy if you bring him in. I think he's bringing in a lot of baggage, and he's going to bring in some really shady guys.
Who are not going to graduate.
Ryan Wood. Come on. Does Cincinnati give degrees? Do they even give degrees?
It's my turn. If Huggins helps Kansas State win, I am all for it. Because there's nothing more exciting than exciting, intense rivalries, be it KU-Missouri, be it KU-K-State.
KU-Tostate.
It is fun.
Play the game!
The most fun that I've ever had as a fan of all the local schools. I'm a Kansas City born and bred. I was a Missouri fan when I was little. Shh, don't tell anyone. But the
now
most
we
fun
know.
You have is when both of those teams, Missouri and Kansas,
we knew
were
was
ranked.
Scumming.
In the top 25, in the Kareem Rush days when it was Gooden versus Rush, Heinrich versus Rush, those were fun times in that rivalry. And I miss that. I miss seeing those fun
times.
They
were fun, though, because Kareem was a good guy.
No, because
he was a good guy.
A good,
I mean, they're going to have to play that KU-K-State game in Leavenworth, yeah, if Huggins comes
well,
in here.
Well, this would be, with the, you know, the cowboy with the white hat and the cowboy with the black hat. It would be the good cop versus the bad cop. Would that, in a way, add to the rivalry and intensify?
Well, it might. I mean, I hated Jason Sutherland when he played at Missouri, but it wasn't because he was a bad guy.
I thought
maybe he was a dirty player, not a dirty person. I think he went around and breaking the law and not expecting to graduate.
I never once found Kansas State basketball to be interesting since I enrolled in KU, six, 7 years ago. I would like to
this
see
true.
That.
Fun fact
like
out there,
that.
I actually
I'm old enough to remember when they were good.
I actually own a black hat, cowboy hat.
I'd be shocked if
when
you
was
the
when was the last time you wore it, and where were you?
That is also
off the record. That's going to hurt your image there, Andy.
Sealed information.
Did you have anything else on besides cowboy boots?
A holster.
I hope she was good looking.
DJ Wetter.
Before I answer this time, the reason Kevin had so much trouble answering that from a KU fan's perspective is he's been in the business too long. This guy doesn't even cheer at games anymore when he's off. In his off time, he doesn't know how to clap.
Mr. Wee over here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And what you're saying is Kevin Romer is a great professional, which I agree, but I don't quite get the criticism.
No, I wasn't criticizing. I'm saying he's a great journalist. That's why he was having trouble answering as a KU fan. That was a compliment.
Okay, Tom, go ahead. DJ Wetter.
I hadn't thought about it from your perspective of the good versus evil. That might make a fun little, you know, add something to the matchup. But as far as it being a K-State, I have a hard time picturing Bob Huggins, even as a KU fan out there. I don't think that's what – that'll never happen, A of all, because the image doesn't fit Manhattan and what they want. But this rivalry is a lot more fun if it's two good coaches and the programs both get better. I think, like you guys said, it's much better for the Big 12 and especially the Big 12 North if there's a great coach there, but not Huggins, not a bad guy.
You know what, though?
In K-State purple.
You know what, though? The only way they can get a great coach is if they take a guy with a ton of baggage, because it's not a great
job. That doesn't
have
many options. They got to find a guy that doesn't have many options.
Exactly. And Huggins may have options.
Coming to Manhattan anytime soon.
Roy? Yeah, exactly. Maybe Roy in Manhattan? Roy, now that'd be a good story. That'd be a lot of fun, have Roy Williams in Manhattan.
I would never do that. It broke my heart.
So you're saying they need to
stay in my life.
Well, you know what? If I'm a Kansas State grad, I wouldn't want him just because I don't want that reputation. But
who else?
If you want this this rivalry to be great, if you want KU to play a tougher schedule during the conference season, if you want the Big 12 to become the Big 12 again, then you got to want K-State to hire Bob Huggins, baggage and all.
Well, I think more than anything, that just said a little something about the Spodcasters, a little moral story for the Spodcasters here.
For all you kids out there.
Yeah, this is the kids' lesson. The three people who picked Huggins, where are they from? Bad cities. The other two?
I was born in Stockton, California, the murder capital of the world at the time.
Keegan, Rochester, Wood, Lee Scummett. And me and Tal, I think, you know, that we're okay with taking these bad coaches.
Rochester.
Bottom line, we see that sometimes you have to deceive to get the bottom line.
There's going
to
be a spot backer writing in saying, who says Lee Summit's a bad town? Because that is not a bad town.
Well, I'll tell you.
Overland Park in the Missouri side.
And I grew up on the hard scrabble streets of suburban Rochester, so I got to tell you.
The burbs, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of like Troy, Michigan there, a couple blocks down from Marshall Fields and Neiman Marcus.
Pretty much.
That's tough territory.
Andy, Sam, you ever been to Stockton, California before you call me out? I'm going to take you there sometime.
Compton, California.
He got out, though. He got out in a hurry.
Stockton is 10 times ahead of Compton. Just not as well known.
It's right by Modesto.
Yeah.
I've been there.
I'm getting married in Compton, California, by the way.
That's true, and I'm going to be his bodyguard.
In Compton, huh?
Well, speaking of Detroit, I think that...
Carson?
Orange County.
Well, the Jays didn't have any fun.
Yeah, well, real close. Not real close.
Geographically. Socially, it's about 8 million miles away.
That's true. That's true.
The OC. You're living the OC, aren't you?
Obviously, Kansas.
Brian Wood's on the show. We didn't know.
Kansas didn't have a whole lot of fun in Detroit, but did you guys? I know it was a short trip. Did you guys get to go to Canada, though?
Went into Canada, but the most fun I had was in Wayne, Michigan.
Wayne, Michigan.
Where we had a three-hour layover between when we checked out of the hotel at noon.
Noon.
And when we arrived at the airport at 3 for the 4:30 flight.
3.
So the way we killed those 3 hours was at Wayne Bowling, Wayne Lanes.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 350 series. Thanks for asking.
350? Divide that by 3, and that's the real number.
422. We all bowed down, though.
Who did? Yeah, who were you bowing down to?
We all bowed down to Gary Bedour, and what was the name of his
Unbelievable.
Method?
The Pinster?
The Boozer method. He said the Boozer method. I said, what does that mean?
Carlos
you hold a
Boozer?
Drink in one hand and roll the bowling ball in the other? He said, no, there was a teacher at KU who taught a bowling class. And his name was Boozer. I guess Dr. Boozer.
Carlos?
Probably.
I tried the Boozer method you referred to, and I took second place.
Wait a minute. Let me correct that, though. Ryan Wood says he took second place because the series was second best. But after I looked at it, the standings, and figured out that if we did it by series, I'd finish fourth. But if we did it by high game, I'd finish third. I moved to third. We went high game, and Ryan finished fourth.
I finished fourth. I was consistent, though. I was a rock.
So you're
pretty enough about
solid.
Bowling. I want to know about Windsor. I didn't get a go. I want to know. Bro,
you
what do you got
find
for
that
me?
Out it's, for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good time.
Let's say our customs officer coming back into the United States.
He was a Rock Chalk Jayhawk
as we were driving off.
Wow.
We told him what we were doing in Detroit because they really pepper you with a lot of questions. What are you doing
going
here?
Over.
And one thing that I thought really they were gonna I thought I was gonna get kicked out of the country before I ever entered it was they asked Well, you came a long way from Lawrence, Kansas to come to Canada, and I started laughing because I thought he was just kidding around with us. He wasn't kidding.
I was driving. I knew he wasn't laughing. He was staring me down like he was going to rip me out of the car and throw me on the dirt. I said, we're tourists. He goes, all the way from Lawrence, Kansas, you came to come to Windsor? Not exactly.
I thought that was funny.
The guy asked me, where are you
from?
You're
not a tourist. You were lying to a customs agent, Kevin?
What else were we doing?
You're a journalist.
Put on that black hat, Roman.
But not in Canada, I wasn't.
Well, you're a journalist as far as Detroit, and then you're
a
tourist
from
Detroit.
He asked, what was I doing in Canada? Oh, I'm doing any journalism over there. Trust me.
As far as you knew.
First question he asked me is, where are you from? And very calmly, didn't choke at all, I said, he said, let me see your license.
Next issue.
Well, clearly, unlike you guys, I've crossed the border, so I would I'd be okay there. I would have just in and out.
Yeah, we were kind of in and out.
The state line is not the border we're talking about. You don't need a passport to get into Missouri.
Never been.
Yeah, you cross the border in handcuffs in the back of a patrol car.
We need to get back to some basketball here. We've kind of been off the subject.
By the way, I recommend Windsor. I'll just leave it at that.
I wouldn't recommend living there.
Was the talk about Bucknell, was it too much? Did they not take that seriously, or was it just...
No, there's two ways you can go. It's not take an opponent seriously, or take the whole thing so seriously that you're uptight.
Then
they were freaked out.
2 years in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Can't lose. Well, you know...
Self-conscious. When you're young and you haven't done something, you're self-conscious.
Weren't smiling. I'm still, you could see it when they came out of the locker room. They didn't act like it was fun. They were looking forward to it. It looked like something that your mom told you when you were a kid you had to go do because it was like an assignment for class. It wasn't something that you volunteered to do because you were looking forward to doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And Mario Chalmers told me it was nerves. I was nervous. He admitted it.
Did you guys notice that all week, watching the the walkthrough and all that?
You can't notice it then.
Yeah, now practice was fine. There's some fans there. They're doing their dunking
things.
No pressure. There's
no
real practice. It's not a real practice.
I was telling Tom Keegan last year, they seemed a lot more loose last year. And I told Tom Keegan that my story that ran the day the Bucknell game took place was that how loose and relaxed – the KU basketball team was as they prepare for their match with Bucknell.
See, I would think they were. I actually believe they were more loose this year because last year is like they didn't want to. They went into every game not really wanting to lose. So much pressure of they weren't playing to win. But this year, at least till that game, it was a little bit different.
I agree with that. I agree. I think they. I just felt like they were more.
But I understand what you're saying.
Fun, joking around.
But that team had also been there before, and they no way were losing the buck now.
Right, and they didn't think that Giddens would be one of 13. Everyone but Mike Lee would have a
bad game
pretty much.
Yeah.
So I think it's just two completely different teams, two completely different storylines leading up to the game and one result.
Hey, next year they're going to be that late-night game, and if this team does what everybody thinks they do, they're going to be looking at a one seed, probably getting the best 16 seed. Are we going to talk about 3 years in a row and maybe the first ever?
Hush, Andy Sam. Get out of here.
The best thing
I'm
this
just
Kansas
saying, you know
team can
do,
that. Andy, get that one seed. And I don't think that's not horribly crazy. It could happen. Get the one
Albany,
seed and then you don't have to worry
it.
About
just
it.
Just get over it and then get on to the second round.
Because, Andy, you mentioned that, but at the time KU was playing and being at home watching the game was a little different. All four teams were playing at that time. The lower seeds were trailing at halftime. That was UNC was one of those teams. Texas was one of those teams. And I forget
UConn?
Was it UConn? No.
UConn this
had already
year was
played.
trailing to Albany.
But that was right before that. But the difference was all these teams are trailing at halftime, but those three came back and won their games. And KU, obviously, that 10-point margin too much. But the difference is you want the low seed. I don't buy that.
Absolutely.
215, I don't buy that's a more dangerous game for you. The 116, that's not more dangerous. You want that seed because then – just relax,
Easiest
you play
road.
Your game, and history's behind you.
And for KU, get past the first game. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. No. The 2 years KU made it to the Final Four, holy cross, and then, of course,
Utah State.
I mean, those two, Utah State came down to a last-second shot. Holy cross came down to the last couple minutes, and Drew Gooden saved the day. And then the Jayhawks unleashed the fury on Marquette
Stanford.
And some other teams. Arizona State, Stanford, you name
it. Is this going to be a year with the success of the George Mason and the Missouri Valley teams that mid-major term maybe becomes, kind of loses some of its meaning? That, these teams, maybe they're not a mid-major anymore. Maybe they're legitimate programs. They're not in power conferences, but, they can play at the big boys.
Well, I don't think they like the term mid-major. I mean, they've sort of embraced it, but I was talking with the Bradley guy who played – 1950s, but in a broadcaster, he was livid about the whole mid-major term. But let me leave you with this thought. Just try to picture it. If Bradley had played last year's KU team and Bucknell had played this year's KU team, who would have won those games? I'm out of here.
Ooh, that's something else.
Hold on, I'm still picturing that.
Oh. Anyway, I'm going to make a prediction 11 months and 3 weeks ahead of time. Kansas will play UMKC in the first round of Chicago, Illinois next year in the St. Louis Regional. That's my prediction.
The Ruse?
You and KC Ruse are going to make the tournament, and they'll be a 15 or 16 seed.
They won't be a 15. If they make it, they'll be a 12 or a 13. Yeah.
UMKC?
That's the problem.
Oral Roberts is a 16 seed this year. That's the same conference.
Yeah.
UMKC
Oral Roberts
is not a 12
is a good 16 seed.
I believe that the Mark Turgeon-led Hawkeyes will be making some noise next year's tournament.
You know something? Tom Keegan really did leave.
He did walk out of the booth.
He's got a meeting.
He left
told
us
he had a meeting at this time.
I think
time.
It was your Marquette comment that just, you know, he couldn't handle them getting bounced this year and the
– Tom made that comment before he left, though, and I think KU would be 2-0 because last year's team would have had no problem with Bradley. A little more experienced team. I think they would have been fine matchup-wise, and I think Bucknell –
Kansas could have.
Well, they'd at least be 1-1 because if Simeon gets that good a look next time, he's going to hit that shot one out of two times.
You don't get Simeon twice, though. You got to put this year's team against one of those teams.
Well, I'm just saying if he takes two shots, I'm going to make one of them.
Now I'm confused.
I
confused myself.
I think the results are probably the same. Really? I got to go the other direction. I mean, I think Bucknell was better this year, and this KU team on paper, looking at it, was not as good.
I was taking last year's Bucknell
versus 06 Kansas.
Yes.
Who wins that game?
Bucknell.
Wow, I disagree.
Hey, I don't know.
With
I
no
mean,
Bucknell
they beat Arkansas. Who?
Well, that means you take Bradley from
now,
last
though.
Year. Bradley was horrible last year.
We're talking 05
Bucknell. What if we had
take this year's Bradley team though against last year's KU team?
Now, what if we had 02?
I wasn't very good math.
02-03 KU versus the 96.
This is like one of those Matrix problems, isn't it?
Who wins that match?
Too many people talking.
02 or 03?
The
Drew Gooden team.
Yeah.
That's something we've always been debating.
And I've got my answer.
And Romer, you've been around long enough, you really remember both these squads, no offense. The 97 Jayhawks against the 02 Jayhawks.
The 02-03 Jayhawks.
The Vaughn team against the Drew Gooden team.
Yes.
Who wins?
Hands down 96-97.
That was the best team.
I don't think it's
However, it's in the regular season, the 96-97 team wins. But it's very obvious that the team in the 2000s was much better in the tournament and could handle the pressure better. That team, for however good it was back then, for whatever reason, could not handle the pressure.
02-03, they had four losses, correct?
No, 01-02 is Drew Gooden's last team. 02-03 is Heineken Carlson's
last
team.
Okay, my bad. 01-02 had four losses, right, coming to Maryland. But the 96-97 team lost by 4 points all year.
That's true. They had three
losses. Which team went farther?
Well,
and who cares about how many you lost?
What if you infuse 96-97 into 01-02 and you form Super Jayhawk team?
I say that
and they
both
take on the all-time Duke team. Who wins?
Time out. They both went the farthest because they both lost in the defending become the champions.
The eventual champions. That is true. But I think I really liked that 01-02 team. I thought it was complete. That starting five was just money, how well they played together.
I think you're forgetting the 96-97 team.
Yeah, Vaughn was hurt half that year anyway.
Vaughn's in the league. Who was the starting point guard for
Aaron Miles.
And is he in the NBA?
Yeah, he did. He was.
Hey,
he will be again.
I'm just saying, you got to look at
Fort Worth in first place.
It's real debatable if Jacques Vaughn's really in the NBA. All right.
Yeah. He's making money.
That is Kevin Romery that – making these loud comments.
When was the last time you saw him in the? Have you seen him on ESPN lately?
Let's put it more like this way:
Who's guarding Pierce right now?
From the 0102 team?
Nobody. No one's guarding Pierce because no one in the league can guard Pierce right now.
Probably not.
You're not arguing better NBA players, though. We're arguing which team is better.
Who would
want a
best of seven series between the 0-2 and the 97?
If I'm one of those guys on those teams, I just show them the ring. Say, "Where's yours?" They ain't got one.
Hey,
no one's got one.
Yeah, the ring that matters.
Final four.
That's true, but I'd say the 97 team wins in seven games.
I'm going to leave it with this matchup.
The 97 team wins.
97 team.
Who wins this matchup?
Three. It'll be close.
B.J. Williams.
They all get to
Bryant
play at
home. Nash. Though. Who's taking that matchup?
B. Nash and Bryant.
What?
B.J. Williams and Bryant Nash. That's a matchup. That's
Bryant
what
Nash
I want to see.
Guard Paul Pierce. He's athletic.
He's got five fouls.
I'd rather talk about the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, let's get this is kind of winding down. Sorry we've been all over the place, but you know.
That's a good topic to debate, though.
It is.
I think the Spodbacker should weigh in on that. And
we got to have our Spodbacker of the week, by the way.
And we
yep, you forgot. You're in charge of that, Andy. Sam.
Andy looks surprised.
I think that's a good thing to talk about in the Spodbacker of the week for next week. What team would have won? And Andy's giving me this dirty look like it's so obvious who would want.
I'm not saying it's that obvious, but I think 96, 97 had better talent.
Perhaps.
If you took you're the
talking,
game to
an, you're talking yeah. college
they
players.
They had more talent than Arizona, too,
player.
But who's got
talking,
that ring?
Choke a loke.
Well, hey, Maryland, they were up on Maryland. What happened?
No, they were down.
Lost.
Big,
yeah.
They were up. They jumped out to a huge lead.
They were 13-2.
That doesn't count. They were
big
down
deal.
Huge late. They came
KU led Bradley 6-5. Yeah.
I think this argument
13-2.
Thing.
It's a little different.
This
the
argument shows
the
one
final
thing.
Four.
Is that KU fans are longing for the glory days again after two straight losses in the first
round.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
We're back talking about the Drew Gooden teams, the Paul Pierce teams. Why don't we just start
talking
about
team
the,
could
the Roger
become
Morningstar
those.
Team?
This team could become those teams in the next couple of years. You'll be talking about these teams that, hey, back-to-back Final Fours, and they win it all.
If the NBA doesn't pluck them away. And
we have a spot back of the week.
Another bench player.
Go halfway down. As far as the Missouri Valley, okay, Gonzaga was a mid-major team, right, a few years ago.
They still are.
But are they really? Come on, they're in the top 20. They're in the top 10 the last 2 years.
Not
their
impact, but their conference.
Their conference is mid-major, but they're not a mid-major team.
Yeah, mid-majors don't get 3 seeds in the tournament.
So is there a team out
of
the Missouri Valley that now has a chance to make a run like that?
What is
the definition of this stupid term, then?
Well, I don't think it's.
I think low major is you have to win your conference tournament. You got no chance to get in the tournament. That's a low major.
Gonzaga might be in the top five, but they're barely winning their conference tournament.
It doesn't matter, though. KU was barely winning.
Everybody in the West Coast Conference is a mid major. It doesn't matter if Gonzaga's built a pretty good program out of it or not.
Come on. Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. I know how to spell it. I'm a newspaper reporter.
Holy mackerel.
You can pronounce it.
Montana. Mid major.
Montana.
Sure.
Mid major. They win the Big Sky. Little upset.
What do you. I think Mo Valley is the one you have to wonder about. What is that? I mean, they all play
well,
one
does the conference have a chance to not be mid? Because it obviously wasn't mid-major back in the 1950s when it was the conference. Do they have a chance to make a run again as a conference?
I mean, I think.
Or is there going to be one team that emerges from that conference, like a Wichita State, minus Turgeon, who's going to another team maybe, a Bradley?
I think it's going to. I mean, I love the top, but it's, you know, I mean, you look at like Creighton and teams like this, it's going to maybe be one of the more established teams, unless Wichita State can go on their run. And if Turgeon stays, they obviously have some talent. They only have one senior starting. But
I
you
don't
saw
think.
The thing about the Missouri Valley is that they had seniors who had been there before, where a lot of these newer, or the power leagues had a lot of younger guys because of the people that went to the league.
And that's why these teams will be able to compete now. And that happens every year.
Yes.
The guys that plan to play 4 years go to the quote-unquote mid-majors. And the guys that are going to go early go to places like Kansas and Duke Carolina.
And I think the next couple of years you're going to see that those mid-majors will probably start struggling again because some of these more talented kids are at least going to stay 1 or 2 years because
they have to.
So now Ogden's going to be at Ohio State. Hey, they're going to be good. You know, Kansas is going to be good. So you're going to see that while this worked for the mid-majors these last couple of years, and they're good
teams. You think
they're
going to drop off, huh?
I don't think they're going to drop off much, but I think there is
going to
be
fall
some.
Right
I think,
down the toilet.
I think there's something. I think there's something what you're saying. Andy. Because it is. It's going to certainly change the new NBA rule as far as what age you have to be is going to force those kids to be older that are going to these big-time schools. And so they're not going to lose guys. These teams are going to stay together longer every single year in a year or two. I agree.
You said it. Where would if it wasn't like the 90s Michigan's team, you know, LeBron would be playing at Ohio State or wherever he was at, you know, wherever he wanted to go.
If it wasn't for Kevin Garnett, LeBron would be at Ohio State and Kobe would have gone to Duke.
Yeah, Kobe would be at Duke. They would have. No one would be Duke.
Well, with the parity that exists.
Sean Stevenson would have been at Kansas.
With the parity that obviously exists in this tournament in the sense that from top to bottom, it's a lot closer. We still have all four number one seeds alive. They've never in the history of the tournament since it's been this format, not all four number one seeds have made it to the Final Four. Is this the year that happens despite all the parity? Are there four teams that are really above the rest?
Well, until Wichita State's a number one seed, no.
Oh, Wichita State in the Final Four? I'm calling it now.
I'll tell you, my Final Four, I got three of them still remaining, and I think, let me see that.
You know, UConn.
I have Villanova and Duke in the Final Four.
UConn got lucky yesterday, too.
I have Gonzaga.
But that's
the
definition of round one, is you survive in the first weekend.
But all four of them won't get there, I don't think. I mean,
I don't think Memphis gets there.
I don't know if Duke gets
there. I think the winner of the UCLA Gonzaga game goes to the Final Four.
Zaga.
Zaga?
This is Zags, dog.
Zaga.
You don't call them the Zogs, do you?
I sometimes call them the Zogs.
What? A makes the A sound. Let's go back to kindergarten.
Oh, man.
Fine. Zag Gonzaga.
There you go.
I don't think Duke gets there, personally.
Really?
I think Kentucky. Or,
who's going to get Duke's way?
Kentucky's coming back.
Kentucky's.
Heads up.
Oh, yeah. Texas
Baby Shaq
that.
Knocks
Texas,
him out in the regionals.
Texas proved that earlier in the year against Duke.
Hey.
Redick, 41. Did Redick outscore Texas that day? I can't remember the final score.
No. Close.
No, but how many he scored in the margin of victory were about the same.
Yeah.
I just hope that one of the small teams gets to the Final Four, because how fun would that be?
That would be great.
That would be great.
Even though CBS, then they would have to eat their words. Sorry, Packer.
But they already did, but you're right.
Because the ratings wouldn't be great, but, you know.
I disagree.
Well, here's the thing. It has to be Wichita State, George Mason, somebody against the big boys. It can't be Wichita State versus Bradley, because then ain't no one tuning in. But the
maybe you're right.
No one's watching David versus David
State
as they just take.
Bradley. Well, no one's.
I don't even like watching Goliath versus Goliath, though. It's Duke UConn again. I'm not gonna call in sick to work, Kevin Romery.
I think the number one potential matchup that still exists on this bracket is Duke Gonzaga in the national semifinal. I'm really hoping for that. I'd like to see
everybody would love to see that. And then after Duke beats Gonzaga. Toss State
Duke
titles.
You don't have to say Ziega.
I got to overemphasize for the TV guys here.
So you had Kentucky beat.
Cherish their pronunciations like they do.
Had Kentucky beat UConn, I think that bracket would have opened up just enough for either George Mason or maybe Wichita State to get in there.
Wait. So if the high seeds continue, though, it would be West Virginia, Bradley, George Mason, and Georgetown into the Final Four.
You tell me people would watch that. I disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree. People wouldn't watch that. Although Pittsnog would be fun to watch.
I think people would love to see Gonzaga, Duke, obviously Morrison, Redick. What do you think, Kevin? You're being pretty quiet over here.
We end this with a prediction for the 2006-07
I thought this was already over. Are we still rolling? I thought we were just talking.
35. Let's say in 35 games, what's Kansas' record next year?
Hey, if you're still listening at this point, that means you are a true spot backer.
You're the spot backer of the week next week.
35 games.
30 and 5.
What's their record?
30 and 5.
Next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely get 30 wins.
31-4. I'm going to say 29 and whatever adds up to 35. Six.
Pythagoras over here. He's doing his addition.
They got to have that calculator with me right here.
The abacus.
I'd go 35. I think they're young enough where they're going to make
35 and 0?
No.
35 and 0.
30 and 5.
Bold
30
and 5 is my prediction.
I heard 35.
Well, all right. I'll take 35.
So there is. Better question is, what is our next podcast going to be about?
KU baseball? Spring football?
We got tons of stuff we can talk about.
There's a year-round show. There's probably something to talk about.
All right. And we'll see if our listeners feel the same way. Yeah. We'll see just exactly how many of you are tuning in. And if you want to comment on the board, we obviously invite that. Please comment on the types of things you would like us to discuss. Because obviously with KU basketball ending, there's going to be a few stories left. Darrell Arthur, this and that, maybe the tournament. But once that is over and done, we're just wondering what will bring the listeners back.
Yeah, what do you want to hear? Because obviously you might not want to hear what we just talked
about.
Yeah. I don't think you want to hear about a Journal World Bowling Tournament.
Hey, how about this question?
So Bedore, who is
Windsor,
second, though?
Early in the year, we had, would KU men or women win more games? What we forgot to say was, who would go farther in the postseason?
Yeah, WNIT, though.
And unfortunately,
and it was
for the
preliminary round, so technically they lost in the first round.
Probably would have won the WNIT.
Did any of you guys happen to watch any of the women's NCAA tournament games last night? Just for a minute.
I watched the highlights. Did you see the dunks?
Did you see the seats behind the benches by any chance?
Is anybody
attending these games is my question. I mean, anybody.
It's got to be hard for that to make money.
I'd like to think. I'm sure that once they get to the regionals and then they get to
the Final Four sells out.
It's a huge event. But those first-round games where you get a team that nobody's heard of and then one of the top teams is going to win by 50 playing in a neutral site, does anybody want to watch those?
And let me say one other thing. SportsCenter made a huge deal about Candace Parker throwing down two dunks.
Hey, it's the first time ever. But
she laid it up twice.
Cheryl Swoops could throw them down.
I can go up and throw the ball in the hoop and then grab the rim. That's not a dunk, though.
Well, I don't think you can. But
we can confirm that, actually.
Yeah. I think she dunked kind of in traffic when the one girl's trailer, and then she had the baseline dunk off a pass. Come on, those.
No, that wasn't
for the women's game. And plus she's coming back from a knee injury, though.
She can dunk. But the NCAA women's tournament should not be pumping itself based on we have dunks now. That's not how you run that. That's not how you make.
What are you
going to
use then? What are you going to use?
Yeah. Hey, we got
it's great fundamental basketball. That has not worked yet. They've been doing that for years. They're trying to make it as close as they can to the men's game. Did they overblow what she did last night?
Yeah.
Astronomically. I saw both the dunks. I saw it once.
It never happened before in the women's game.
What is ESPN's interest? Is it just because they're covering all the tournaments? Why would they blow
Because they televise all 65 games. And that's probably it.
Hey, it was historic. That's all I'm going to say. They're going to blow it up.
It was historic.
That.
Who do you like in the NIT, Andy? That's the question.
The NIT?
Ole Miss.
Women?
Kansas State.
I went back
the
to
the KU
men's.
Women? I'll tell you what. There was a girl that played Kansas last night. Kansas, unfortunately, fell by two after having a 16-point lead, and she was as athletic as I've seen this year covering any. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of women's games, but I know you have, and she was as athletic as anyone they played. Armini Price, she had 31 points against the Lady Jays.
I disagree with you. I think the Paris down from Oklahoma, the Paris girls.
Courtney,
yeah, we were talking
sure.
The WNIT.
Oh, sorry. Out of the WNIT, you might be right. Ole Miss is the most athletic team left.
No, I said
I don't know what
one player.
But even with, even with Courtney Paris, she's a phenomenal player. But she's phenomenal because she's just huge. She's just bigger than everybody else. She has a nice touch and she's athletic, but she's not going
to
dunk anytime soon. You know, she's not Candace Parker type good.
Darnell Jackson doesn't dunk either.
Yeah, right.
He's not the best player in Division I men's basketball either.
Okay.
She is.
No she's offense. A freshman, though. I bet, you know, this she's had true. A leg injury. I bet they're throwing her oops by the end of her senior year. You mark that down, Romer.
Did you say you wanted to bet?
Roids. Yeah.
I How bet. Much?
She'll get a new.
Put it up.
Well, she do a Julian Wright 360.
Let's go a schooner. Okay. She'll catch a noob. She'll call.
If I drank, I would collect.
All right. Well,
you're not going to be alive in 4 years.
On that
so
one,
that's
man.
True.
Doesn't
I probably
matter.
Won't. I won't be here.
All right. I got to go.
Anyway, let's get our predictions.
We need to wrap this up.
Now let's get our predictions and then we'll go.
For what?
For what?
The Final Four. What else are we talking about?
Oh.
Oh, wait.
WNIT.
Yeah, WNIT.
You're talking about Candace Parker and how you thought it was fantastic.
My Final Four from last week is still alive. I've still got Texas, Boston College, and then the one seeds, UConn and Memphis.
Well,
that was my
you.
Final Four.
Yeah,
and then,
congratulations. Let's just no, talk just, about the title game. Who's going to be there?
You just said Final Four. I was just merely mentioning it. Good
I don't know,
night.
I'm tired of everyone being
okay,
haters.
Then I have UConn and Texas. I still think that will play out, and UConn wins it.
All right. I got Duke, Gonzaga. Zaga, Villanova and Washington.
Where are
Villanova and Duke for the title. Villanova wins.
Wait, Villanova and Washington?
Yeah. UConn ain't winning.
I was very close. I picked Nova and Duke in the final game, and I picked Duke to win it. The other two Final Four teams I picked are gone. They both lost in the first round, so
like
I guess
now?
I'd have to pick out.
Kansas and Michigan
how about UCLA and out of the other bracket?
Gonzaga.
UConn. How about that one?
That's a tough pick there.
Well,
with the five.
My bracket blew up
7
like
and 11.
Candace Parker yesterday on ESPN, so I'm going to have to make some adjustments. I'll go with Duke and Gonzaga because everybody wants to see it. And then I'm going to go with Wichita versus Wichita State in the Final Four. Duke beats, you know, the matchup there. Duke, Wichita State, Duke rolls.
All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, we'll see you next time.